בכל המולו שיעמול תחס השמש. How do we translate my Yisran? Ask. When it says my Yisran Ladam, it means what extra does he get besides the benefits. So the question is, what kind of a statement is this? What extra does a person receive with all the work that he works under the sun? I mean, if he gets what he gets, he gets what he deserves. The question should be, does he get anything? If you want, it's a rhetorical question. In other words, we have to rephrase the question. There is nothing extra for a man with all that he works under the sun. That's what it is, a rhetorical question. What extra does he get? Nothing. The answer is nothing. Right? Okay, so let's rephrase the statement. There's nothing extra for man with all his toil that he toils under the sun. All right, so there's nothing extra. So what? But he gets what he bargained for. But he gets what he worked for. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong? I mean, a man will come at the end of the week to his boss and ask him, what do I get extra? Ridiculous. I mean, he gets his paycheck. It's what he bargained for, and that's it. So what is what is Shlomo saying? Shlomo saying it's a very sad story. Why is this a sad situation? Because there's nothing extra. I mean, so who cares? Nothing extra. That's not so bad. I mean, as long as you get the schar, as long as you get your benefits. The third pasuk, my Yisran Ladam, is nothing more than a continuation of Havei Lavala. He's explaining the basic drive of man. The basic drive of man is related not to a reality of what he's going to get in return, but his basic drive is related to an imagination, which doesn't exist. If he would know that he would never get this imaginatory type of pleasure in return, the man wouldn't go on for a day. He'd stop right away. But he imagines that there's more. Yes. How does he imagine it this more? Good question. How does he imagine this more? It's because he's convinced that the pleasure, each pleasure that he works for, is convinced that it's going to give a bigger return than it really does in reality. If he would actually see the return, then he wouldn't work so hard for it. It wouldn't be worth it for him. But he imagines that he's going to receive more. Just like we ourselves know how many times we imagine different things are going to make a tremendous change in our lives. Then when we got there, same old thing again. So the point is the imagination, the faculty of the imagination that drives him on, drives him, keeps him going. So he overestimates the amount of pleasure that he's going to receive. That's one kind. But there's another kind of you might say overestimation or misestimation. Misestimation. It's an interesting chazal. Let me just discuss the chazal. We'll get back to the pasuk. Gemara tells an interesting story. The Gemara says that Rish Lakish was a very, very devout individual, a very religious person, and he only did what the Torah requires. I mean, everything outside the halacha, everything outside the realm of philosophy of Yadis, he didn't waste too much time with. So the Gemara says that when he was about to die, he took a look around him, and he saw that there was an extra kav. Kav is a small measure of boxers. In other words, there was this. He worked a little bit extra. He didn't realize, and he had this extra kav. Chazal said that he only used to work for one day. He'd go to work, get enough money for the day, sit and learn. Next day, go to work again. That was the way he lived. Live from day to day. So before he passed away, and he saw he had that extra kav, so he said about himself. He said, he quoted a pasuk. Ozvu la'achirim chelam. The pasuk says they left over to others their strength, which means Kent on the idea of after he dies his estate. I mean, he built up a tremendous wealth, tremendous estate. This should all go on to his children. This should keep on going. And Rish Lakish says just the opposite. He says every penny that you leave over is a waste of time. I mean, it seems to be a rather selfish type of approach. I mean. But anyways, forget about selfish or not. Which one is correct? What do you say? Which one do you... Let's analyze both ways of life. You have two ways of life over here. One way is Rish Lakish's way. He says that it's a waste of time. Whatever you left over is wasted. You gave your strength. You wasted your time. And the other philosophy is no. On the contrary, build up a tremendous empire. Leave it over to your child. Leave it over to your children. Your family will go on for generations and generations. This is the average person's type of dream, right? You might not always succeed in it. If he doesn't succeed completely, he doesn't leave over an empire, leaves over something he feels left over. And this to him is very important. He thinks about his children, his grandchildren enjoying life and having money and doing things that they wanted to do. And this is what he strives for, right? Rish Lakish tells us just the opposite. What do you say? Let's analyze both ways of life. Which one is correct? Person does it for later in order to get praise later. We say he's a fool because there's no way to do that. No way to do that. But maybe he'll say he does it now because he wants to have the foreknowledge. He enjoys knowing now that his children are going to enjoy themselves later. What do you say about that one? It's a good argument. In human nature, people often mistake different things. You know, the Rambam calls it Nemar Nevuchim. He says the biggest mistakes that people make is they mistake accidents for essences. We don't use the term accidents anymore. It's an old term, an old logical term. But the word accidents means attributes. For instance, if you take a look at something that has a similar characteristic, a similar attribute, you mistake it for something else that has a similar attribute. When really, they're two different things. You see? Now, take the idea of chesed, of kindness. Kindness, there is such an idea, chesed. Chesed towards a person's fellow man, right? Now, most people feel when they raise their children, they feel they're performing a tremendous act of chesed, right? Right? Because they're giving of themselves to others, right? Can anyone show me why that definition alone is not really too solid when you analyze it? What if it was somebody else? What about his neighbor next door came into the house and said, "Okay, this is a good deal. I like to be supported also. Maybe you'll move over and let me move in." What do you say? Would he do it or not? You throw him out on his head. I mean, ridiculous. Get out of here. Go to work. My kid, this is my kid. My kid is one thing, but somebody else, I mean, is a different story altogether, right? So what do you see from this phenomena? That it is not done. Avraham Avinu is different stuff. Avraham Avinu is complete chesed. Why? Because you see, I mean, his doors were always open. Anybody that came in, even a dirty Arab came in, he gave him the whole thing over there, right? Selflessness, why only towards this particular person? Why didn't it express itself towards other people? What's the answer? There's one thing missing. What? What's the answer? Obviously, what's the answer? In other words, the pleasure is because of a trick of the mind, you see? And it's fortunately that God implanted this trick, because if he didn't, people wouldn't survive. And the trick is that a person identifies with his offspring. And offspring, children really are viewed as part of the self, an extension of the self. So therefore, since this is so, it is not very difficult. It's not very difficult for a person to help himself and to be kind to himself and to support himself. Correct?
Yeah, right.
So therefore, what he does is, in the child, he really is
helping himself.
But I want you to know one thing. We have to be totally truthful about this phenomenon, because it's an interesting phenomenon. There's one halacha. I'd like you to define halacha for me. There's halacha like this. The Gemara says, all right, that a person, okay, so we'll discuss it. Okay. The Gemara says that you can't put on a Sanhedrin a person who has a vicious inclination. You see, a person is not a merachim, doesn't have the element of rachmanis. Vicious, certainly, and even if he's not vicious, but if he doesn't have the element of rachman. And the Gemara says, a person without children, no matter how great a gadol he is, cannot be on a Sanhedrin of dinu nefashos. No matter how great a person he is, if he doesn't have a child, he can't be on a Sanhedrin of dinu nefashos. What's the reason? Why? Why? When a person initially is totally in love with the self, all his direction is towards the self. When he has a child, it's an in-between stage. It's someone who he identifies with, but it still is not the self. So it's a first step towards others. You see? A first step towards others. Freud calls it the loss of narcissism. He says it happens to many people who are very narcissistic, means they're totally involved with themselves. When they have children, it changes. Their whole, not only towards their children, but in general their outlook changes.
They learn to be less selfish.
They learn why? Because they go away from the physical self.
They became less concerned with themselves.
Right. It's true that there's identification, but it still is not as strong as the self. So it's one step towards other people. But it's still, you have to understand, still the basic motivation is identification. The basic motivation is identification. And this obviously could be seen by anyone who reflects for a moment on the fact that people are very kind towards their own children. Even I mean, take a look at Rishayim, or look at the cases of what do you call it, the mafia. I mean, mafia. You don't have to look for people that lack chesed. I mean, more than the mafia, killers, murderers, but their own family. Oh, their own family are tremendous. I mean, bambino. I mean, children, important family, grandfather, very important family structure. Everybody knows about it, right? Okay, what? Right, two separate things. Family is one thing, business something else. So you see clearly that love for family is not an indication of a person's kindness. It's not an indication. We have so many phenomena to the contrary. It shows it's not true. It's true. Chazal say that in a general way, it's one step. But that's why a person doesn't have the first step was excluded from the Sanhedrin. But it still is based, essentially, it's based mostly on the identification with the self. Okay, since that's the case, it's based on identification with the self, as we see when we analyze the cases. I mean, we can't do it. As much as we might not like it, we have to look at what the facts are. Facts are that no guarantee. A person is good to his children. He's a nice guy. Okay, so what do you say about the question of, should a person work for the idea, with the idea in mind, that his children will, he's happy now, that his children will reap the benefits? What do you say, yes or no? One is real and one is artificial. In other words, this whole process of identification is an artificial thing in the mind. If you're captured, you're hopelessly captivated by that one thing, so you can't pull yourself away, fine, man, okay. But if you have the choice between a real enjoyment and one which is a trick of the mind, which one should you choose? I mean, a rational person, choose the real one. So forget about the kids, enjoy yourself. Right? Okay. One second. A person who feels accomplishment should really feel accomplishment when?
When
he does the best thing, right?
So
therefore, if we should show that this is the best thing, so then he should feel accomplishment when he does this.
Because he's fulfilled his needs.
Right.
So he's fulfilled.
Exactly right. The point is, accomplishment should really be associated with the fact that a person has done what is best, right? Now, if we can show that this is the best thing, so when should you feel a sense of accomplishment? When he does this. So now if we show the arguments of favor that the rational way is to be for yourself, right? Oh, so then that's when you should feel accomplishment. On the contrary, you should feel sick if you did it for somebody else. This is a terrible thing. I really didn't accomplish anything. Yes, it's a strange phenomenon. When you give tzedakah, who is the one that's the biggest recipient of the... You're the biggest recipient. Why? Because you've removed your attachment to the mundane and you've freed a certain amount of energy for the real enjoyment, which is the enjoyment of thought, the enjoyment of yahadus, the enjoyment of intellectuality, the enjoyment of chachma. So that by removing your connection, by giving somebody else really, you are acting in a selfish way. It's an interesting selfishness. It's a selfishness which just so happens is beneficial on a society level, you see, and is beneficial for the person, for the yachid. It's both. That's the philosophy of yadis. So therefore, yadis does not demand that a person should give up his life. Chayecha kaidman, your life comes first. Chayecha kaidman, your life comes first.
Why should anyone ever teach?
Okay. What about teaching? Teaching is to, first of all, teaching, when a person teaches, he clarifies his own ideas. If you ever read the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, you'll find out that a person through teaching is really the greatest student of all. The teacher is the best student, the greatest student. Why? Because when a person teaches others, people ask questions, and they bring up different ideas. No human being, no matter how great he is, could think of every idea. Remember when through the case Moshe had an argument with Aaron? Aaron was right. Moshe had an argument with Bnei Tzlochot, the women daughters of Tzlochot. Who was right? Came Bnei Tzlochot Deiris. Moshe missed the point. The greatest man, the greatest thinker in the world. There is no individual who could possibly fathom every single point. Just humanly impossible. We don't build up idols. We believe that people are human. So therefore, we say that a Rebbe actually is a Talmud at the same time. There's no such thing really as a Rebbe. A Rebbe is a Rebbe Talmud. He's both a Rebbe and a Talmud. Talmidim ask him questions, bring new ideas to his mind, he's a Talmud. It just so happens that Rebbe Yehuda Nasi says he's the greatest Talmud. Because Rebbe Yehuda Nasi says that the greatest perfection of the intellect comes by way of expressing your ideas to others, teaching others. Because through that you clarify your own thoughts and other people show you different ideas that you never saw before. And if a person thinks that he's so smart that he can't learn anything from anybody else, it's tamashaita. It's not a chacham obi. Selfish, yeah, right. So it depends, you see. If you're a person who is involved in the physical world, insofar as you're involved in the physical, then you should give the physical to others in order to remove yourself from that attachment, to free your energy towards a higher goal. you see. But Rish Lakish was a person who already reached the highest goal. There was no need for him to free himself anymore. He was a person who reached the highest goal. So what was rational for him to do? Simply Torah. Every minute of Torah that he wasted, he looked at it as a total waste. He was right. In his situation, he was right. Why? Because the only reason that a person should give to others, to help others, is not just for not simply on a societal level, but on an individual level, which means what? In order to help himself, correct? Okay, so there's two types of fantasies. One type of fantasy is insofar as a real pleasure is concerned. You overestimate the pleasure. But there's another kind of fantasy. What's the other fantasy? Where there's no pleasure at all. Where there's no pleasure at all. For instance, the imagination tells him identification, vicarious pleasures, all tricks of the mind, tricks of the imagination, in which a person involves himself and builds up that these are the tremendous things he's doing. He imagines he's going to have an enjoyment through history. He's mentioned in history. Complete nonsense. All this yisrain, all these extra things don't exist. So therefore, Shlomo Melech says that it's a total waste. You see? That's the third pasuk. My Yisrael Lon, there is no extra. He's working for what? He didn't become a president of the United States just for the $180,000 a year. What do you do it? For the Yisrael, for the extra, the imagination. There is no Yisrael. So therefore, it's a total waste.